Welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I am Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me tonight will be Emilio Danilo. This episode, we will be discussing the 1-1 draw for Fulham at Craven Cottage today against Huddersfield Town. This was a disappointing draw, I'm going to say that, very disappointing draw, but Fulham did get a point at the very end of this match. Emilio was there, he's going to be my eyes, and he's going to paint the picture for us tonight. Emilio, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Welcome, Russ. Hello again. It seems only, it was only 2 days ago that we last had a conversation. And, unfortunately, it's a shame that we can't be talking about a solid 3 points today. You know, we're still looking for our first win of the season and we were nowhere near winning today. You know, we were very, very disappointing. Two very average to poor teams. And, the attendance was dismal today. It's not looking good at the moment. You know, although I'm always trying to stay optimistic and positive and saw some encouraging signs in the first three games, unfortunately, we're back to square one again. Today's performance was unacceptable. And for the 14,000 faithful that were there today, who had to endure that with 30-degree temperatures, that's just unacceptable. It was a very, very, very disappointing performance. And where do we go from here? That's the thing. You know, I think most people know where they want to go from here, but I honestly don't know what the next steps are. You know, we have to continue enduring that performance week in, week out. We're going to struggle again.
Listen, I agree with you. I know we're only four matches in, but we talked about this in a prior episode that you were seeing progress. And you mentioned that. You went into detail. Listen, I'm seeing progress. Unfortunately, Emilio, you mentioned me off air. From all the progress that you saw in the prior match, you saw things that were the same in this match.
Yeah, absolutely. I think put the score aside for a moment and, the sort of very slow start and sluggish start in the first half. You know, when we go through the stats later, a neutral look at those stats will interpret those stats and think, well, how come Fulham didn't win the game? Right. But, that's encouragingly, I know we played poorly overall, but, some of the stats will imply that, when do we actually have 60% plus possession in the game? I can't remember that happened very often last season at all. So we are stronger in midfield. We are passing it at times a lot better. We're holding the ball a lot better. And that's protecting the defence. So our defence is not under as much pressure as they were last season. Hence the reason why we're not losing 2-3, 4-0. So we are tighter. The defence still needs boosting and firming up. But the midfield is a difference this season. You know, there is typically more movement, more better quality, and on paper they should be doing a lot better. But it just doesn't seem to be a team unity. Today's performance just didn't suggest that the team were playing as a team. Like individual performances here and there, O'Hara trying to spring the ball, but it just seemed to be we weren't alert. You can't keep blaming other reasons, Kit. Maybe the weather was too warm today, or we had a bit of bad luck with injuries during the game. Something's not right there. And I was suggesting, although the performances were more encouraging, I was questioning on Thursday's show whether there was actually team unity there. Were the team playing for Kit? Does the player want to come and play for Kit? What I suggested on Thursday. And that came out quite evident today. Do the players out on the pitch want to play for Kit? Do they believe in his tactics, his style of play? Do they believe the club will progress under Kit Simons? It just felt that the players were just doing a job, but not really wanting to do more than just doing a job.
Well, let me ask you this, and it's a very good point for you to bring up. You know, again, do they want to play for Kit Simons? I actually asked you offline. I said, well, I want to look at it this way. Emilio, what was the game plan? What was Kit's plan? And again, if he had a plan, why were they not all on the same page? That's my question to you. You watched it. So I'm just asking, what do you think was his game plan in this match?
Pringle being dropped to the bench, I thought, that bringing Kaká on, Kaká did make a difference against Brighton last Saturday. So I thought, I wasn't surprised with the formation today. I was glad to see Dembélé coming into the starting 11. Hopefully we discussed that on Thursday, and this is his chance to prove. And he did, as far as I'm concerned, did a pretty good job there. But, I think it was very much just trying to play a 4-4-1-1 with McCormack, who... I don't know, actually, what system he wants to play. He just seems to be... We're playing with 10 men every game this season so far. Russ McCormack has been innocuous four games, and he is the problem at the moment. I'm not sure if he's not 100% fit or just doesn't want to play. there's something not quite right there. And with Ross McCormack, our key player, underperforming game in, game out. There's something not quite working there. And I think we're just playing a standard 4-4-2, you know. And
right.
We had, you know, Kaká was expecting there to be a bit more width. Didn't really see it. We were playing a bit too narrow first half, and it was quite a lackluster, disappointing first half. And just, I don't know, it just, the players are sort of not necessarily playing to their natural positions. Ross McCormack was staying up, going deep, going wide, going left, moaning here, moaning there. It's just, something wasn't quite right. There's a lot of words being exchanged amongst the players as well today. So where passes, simple passes weren't being made, and we were going for the more spectacular pass. You could see there was a bit of, you know, words being between Ross McCormack and O'Hara on a couple of occasions, or Jazz Richards and LVC. It just seems to be, there's, you know, are we playing as a team here, or we're trying to play a part long ball system at times, which maybe the players don't want to play that. As soon as we start to play it more short to feet and trying to interlink,
right,
there seems to be a bit more movement there, then the players seem to be a lot more confident and more comfortable with the system. But if they're trying to play a long ball game, trying to hit it long, trying to target Smith previously, Dembele today, I don't think those players are comfortable playing that system. And there's no width. You know, if we played a bit more width today, I think we could have got a lot more reward. But we were trying to play a narrow system as always. And LBC is not the player he was. As soon as the substitution was made with Kaká, I saw Kenny come back in the game more. I saw LBC start to make some penetrating runs, which he didn't do for the first hour. So I don't know, something's not quite right there. And I'm not sure the players know what system they should be playing and what position they should be playing. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
There's a lot of confusion there amongst the players about, well, should I be left? Should I be right? Should I be central? Should I be wide? Should I play forward? Should I play deep? It seems to be, it's just pot luck.
Well, Emilio, that to me is what is really discouraging, because again, I've said to you this, and I've talked about this a great deal. I think Fulham have the talent to basically be a team that can fight for promotion. I'm not saying get to promotion, but possibly get in that top six. I think they have talent. I think, again, that they have that potential talent, and if they bring in a couple of players, I think it could really even enhance that. But the thing about it is, the thing that worries me, concerns me, is what you're just sharing with me, is that it doesn't sound like the players know what they're supposed to be doing. They're not being played in their best position based on what you're telling me. You know, again, Kearney was out on the right. You know, I talked to Mike Gregg on the last show. Mike thinks he should be playing more of a central role. Are these players being put in the right positions to succeed, Emilio? That's the million-pound question I have.
I'm not sure they are, to be honest. I think if you look at McCormack, it's, you know, he gets very frustrated, and his frustration fends off to the rest of the team players. He's our captain at the moment, and he's not leading from the front. I've got a problem with that. You know, strip that captaincy away from him, give it to Jamie O'Hara, who's probably more naturally gifted as a captain, and basically give him the kick up the bottom that he needs. I won't do a Yanis and actually start saying blasphemous terms on air, but he deserves to be kicked up, you know where. McCormack, your so-called £11 million signing, our most, you know, expensive signing in the squad, and you're underperforming and you're not leading it from the front. You know, you're an embarrassment to the team. Sort your life out, lose some weight, and get in the game, and key up those, you know, buoy up those players. You know, get them playing for you. It just seems to be you're moaning at them, you're whinging at them, you're showing your frustrations to the players. That's not good. You're a captain, you put those frustrations aside and get those players working together as a team. I don't see that leadership on the pitch. That's important. You
absolutely
need a leader on the pitch. I'm not seeing that at the moment.
Listen, I completely agree with you. And it's funny because we talked about this on the preview show. Fulham supporter sent me a question for David and I to discuss. His name is Tyler. And he wanted to ask David and I if we thought that Jamie O'Hara should be the captain until, say, Scotty Parker gets back, and strip it from Ross McCormack. And the argument there was going to be, well, what happens if you take it away from him? He'll be even more difficult to deal with. And I see that argument, you know, again. But right now, Emilio, you're not getting enough from your star player. He is not giving you enough, and that's affecting the entire team. So whereas I think Fulham have issues tactically, they have issues with some of their players, and their best player, again, Ross McCormack, should be your star player, is not performing.
It is true. It just, All I'm seeing here is a lot of whinging, diving on the floor, being a bit like a drag queen at times. And I'm not seeing him, you know, encouraging the players, patting them on the back, you know, buoying them up and, you know, bigging them up, especially when we got set pieces. And it just seems to be a lot of, you know, that sort of, the Ross McCormack we saw the first 10, 12 games of last season, we're seeing that again. And that needs to change, because that is affecting him around in the team. And, you know, when you're sort of having words on the pitch with players that, oh, you know, you should have done a better pass there, or why didn't you pass to me here? Why didn't you pass it, etc. We don't need that. It shows a little, like, lack of functional, no unit at the moment. Players are just playing individually at times. But in the second half, there were some encouraging signs. They were passing the ball quickly. Nice one touch, O'Hara, Kearney, LVC. And when LVC started making some penetrating runs, that gave me a lot more encouragement. But were we ever going to score a goal? Maybe it was going to be one of those games where their goalkeeper made some two great saves second half. Their defence was steady and solid. Maybe it was just going to be one of those games we weren't going to get an equaliser. But it was difficult to celebrate an equaliser. It just felt, well, that still wasn't enough. Well, normally I'll take away the point and, you know, be grateful for it. Whereas today, you know, whether we got a point or loss, I don't think it made any difference. The performance overall wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, not saying well done Huddersfield. I think 1-1 was a fair result, but there was just, the team looked a little bit fragmented today. And I didn't see a unified team ethic out there. And something's not right there. Something's not quite right.
You know what? And that's what really concerns me. And listen, you know, I don't like slamming our star player, but when our star player is not playing well, I think we have to call like we see it. I didn't see it, but based on what I've heard, what I listened to, and what you're telling me, it sounds like he has not performed. I've watched back all three matches prior, and Ross McCormack has really not shown up to the player that we saw last season, especially from the middle to the end of the season. I thought Ross McCormack was very good for Fulham Football Club, but for whatever reason, he's not the same player right now. And they need him to be the leader, like you said. They need him to lead by example, because again, you need leaders out there. Jamie O'Hara, like you said, Emil, it sounds like he's being a leader, but he's not your captain. Ross McCormack's your captain. You need to be a leader. He needs to be a leader. He needs to get them going. He needs to do what Danny Murphy would do. He needs to be a leader by, like Danny Murphy, Amelia.
I see Jamie O'Hara being that leader, because he had a good first hour of the game. He sort of died off the last 20, 30 minutes. But overall, you felt if it wasn't through Jamie O'Hara, there was nothing happening on that pitch. Kearney, Kaká and LBC first 56 minutes were very, very, very poor, very average, to say the least. But as soon as the substitution was made, there's a bit more purpose to the team. And, you know, Dembele had a good game, but was very isolated up there on his own. Where was McCormack supporting him? I mean, that was where it's disappointing, because he showed his strength. Dembele won a lot of balls, won a number of free kicks, corners, giving the defenders a problem, holding the ball well, but he had no one around him. So it's the team looks a little bit disjointed at the moment. And today was certainly several steps back. I thought there was encouraging signs the first three games. The whole defeat on Wednesday was undeserved. We deserved to get a point on Wednesday night, and the stats imply that. But today, despite the fact stats being very good in our favour, we've taken several steps back, and we're back to the Fulham of last year. And that's worrying.
It is, Amelia. It certainly is. And, you know, again, I hear us talking a lot about being disjointed, a lot not being on the same page, and that's what's worrying to me. And I actually look forward to watching this. Like I mentioned, I haven't watched it yet. We're doing this a little bit early because I'm going to be out of town tomorrow, so I didn't get a chance to watch the replay. So like I mentioned, you were there, so you are my eyes, so you can really be the commentator here. I'm just going on based on what you've told me. And basically what I listened to, but again, more importantly, I want your expertise of what you watched there today. And before we go over some key moments, we're not going to go over too many key moments. I just want to ask, what were your thoughts about the starting 11?
Probably the expected lineup. I was expecting Pringle to be dropped, and, you know, I thought it was good to see a different option. Let's try with Kaká, who I thought deserved to start, get in the starting 11. I was pleased, obviously, to see Dembele there. I'm a big fan of his, as you know. And again, he gave us something different than Matt Smith. So pleased that he did a good job and looked to retain his place. defensively, I was glad to see Bodrov dropped, in place of Burns. So I think it was an obvious move. Fosa worries me as fullback again. I don't like him. I think I don't think he should be starting going in future games. He's a liability there, and that's my main concern at the moment. Whilst we've got a few injuries, and we've possibly still got a few signings to come up in the next week or so. It's probably the lineup you'd have expected. I don't think Kit Simons would have done anything more drastic or anything more surprising. I think that was probably the expected lineup, in my opinion.
Right.
I'm not surprised by that, but is that the strongest 11 that we can put out? Injury free? No, it's not. And that's where I'm nervous. Cavosa shouldn't play there going forward in that position. Midfield wasn't too bad, but at times lacking a bit of creativity. And, I know David Hiley won't mind me, like me mentioning this, but I sort of missed the Brian Ruiz type of flair there as well sometimes. it's crazy as it sounds, but I miss that sort of character, unpredictability. But
yeah,
it was obvious we didn't have the quality of Brian Ruiz at times, and that's what's missing as well this season. Someone with that, we've got a better midfield. Again, like I was saying earlier, protecting the defence. That's why we're not conceding as many goals as we have done. But at the same time, if we can get a bit more quality in the midfield, and without O'Hara, I do worry, because he's pulling the strings at the moment. And if it's not for him, then where is our invention going to come from? LBC's had a quiet start to the season. Kearney's two good goals, but drifts in and out of games. Pringle hasn't really settled yet. Kaká, good second half last week, poor game today. So the positions are up for grabs at the moment as well. But that's a teaser for Kit Simons. Is he good enough and capable enough to address these problems and make a difference and change things around? I'm not sure he is.
No, very interesting take there on the starting 11. And that was pretty close to what I was expecting with your starting 11. So I'm not going to argue too much about that. Before we go through the key moments, because I want to get right into it, I want to share an email that I received from Ben Weeks. Ben, FFC by the River, was supposed to join us, Emilio, as I talked to you off air. Unfortunately, his train got canceled. He couldn't join us tonight. But he did send me this email with just some commentary. And I'm going to share it with you, and then I want your thoughts on what Ben shared. He was at the match as well. So this is from Ben Weeks, and you can follow him on Twitter, FFC by the River. He's been on the show before. This is what Ben had to share. Hope you have a great show and a good rant, because we mentioned we might have a rant here. For what it's worth, my thoughts are that Dembele has to play. He showed enough today. Kit, I'm sad to say, is always going to have a place at Fulham and has done his bit, but isn't the right man to organize a team towards a promotion charge. Statistically, we were very good today, but still lacked attacking impetus and incisiveness. Kai Vosa should not play again. Jamie O'Hara should play every game for the rest of the season. And those are the comments from our Cottage Talk co-host, Ben Weeks. And what are your thoughts of what Ben had to say about the match today?
Very in aligned to what I'm saying. I think Kai Vosa is proven in the two games I've seen him at home, not capable and a liability. He's got skimmed again very often today. And, on another day, a better team would have punished us further. So bear in mind, we only played Huddersfield Town, who I think will be one of the weakest teams. They were one of the teams that I predicted could get relegated, if I recall, when we did a show a couple of weeks ago. I thought they would be a prize relegation candidate. Nothing from today suggests that they're not going to be in the relegation mire. But at this rate, we're not far behind them either. So Vosa is very weak in that position, out of position very often, easily getting out-muscled, and very slow with pace at times. So I'd like to see him dropped. Dembele took his chance well today. Very pleased for him. He had a great header, which was saved miraculously by their keeper. Otherwise, we could have taken the lead early in the second half. But overall, he gave their defence problems. And, he just needs a goal to boost his confidence.
Right.
And maybe hopefully he'll play on Tuesday night against Sheffield United, get that much-needed goal. And, I'd like to see him cement his place in the starting 11. But overall, I think I'm aligned with Ben here, to be honest. Without sort of going into the negatives, the positives here, and I like to sort of focus also on positives, is that there were times when we were passing the ball better in the second half, when there was a spell where we were passing, even back into the first half, we were knocking it about quite well. Jamie O'Hara making things happen, speculative long-range shots, something could have happened. And unfortunately, we just didn't have that killer instinct in front of goal. And a lot of it was long range shots. But, we weren't often last season playing nice one touch football. And we were doing that at times today. So those are the encouraging signs. But unfortunately, we only came away with a point, albeit an injury time. And the majority of the game, we should have been doing a lot better against a very, very poor team.
See, that's the part of this that bothers me, because again, I didn't watch it. I'm just listening to it. And I've actually watched a little bit of Huddersfield Town earlier in the season. And I thought this was a more than winnable match, a match that Fulham should win, not draw, win. And I think that's where I'm disappointed, because I think this is a team that will be in the near or in the relegation zone the entire season. I really think they're going to be there. I don't think Fulham's going to be there. Well, let me just say this. I don't think that they're going to be there. I think we're going to be fine. The problem is, I want better than fine, Emilio. I don't want to be fine. I don't want to be a 13th, 14th. I want to be striving towards top six. And they're not going to strive towards top six playing like this and getting a point against Huddersfield Town. That's why I'm disappointed today. That's why I'm upset, because I don't think they're going to get relegated. Let me just stress this. They're not going to get relegated. But it's not about that. It's about trying to build something towards a promotional style team, a team that can fight for promotion to get towards there. And right now they're nowhere near it. And that's the problem, because I think that they have some of the talent that could get them there. If they add a couple pieces, Emilio, I think they'll definitely have the talent to get themselves in the top six. But the problem is, can they put it together? Can they put together an entire match? Can they do that? And those are the questions that I have. That's what's frustrating me. All right, my friend, let's now go into the key moments. Like I said, I don't have too many of them, but I want to start here because again, I thought this was unfortunate. I want you to see if you could explain to me what happened to Sean Hutchinson. He had to be replaced in the 10th minute. He came off with an injury. Exactly what happened with him? He went down once and then he went down again.
Yeah, good. It's actually, I didn't actually see, I think it was Byrne initially had an injury, firstly. I thought, okay, Byrne had to come off briefly, and then he came back on. So then within a few minutes, it was Sean Hutchinson, innocuously. I think either he fell awkwardly. I didn't see any rash challenge from the opposition. I just think it was one of those unfortunate, I think he just fell awkwardly, and he was in a lot of pain. I could see it wasn't too far ahead of me, but I think I was actually trying to just... reply to a few tweets on my phone whilst there wasn't much going on in the game. And next minute I saw he had his medical team around him and he was being taken off. So that was a massive blow, because I thought, okay, Byrne potentially could be carrying an injury because he was treated a few minutes earlier. Now we've got Hutchinson going off and Bodruff coming back in. That's an unproven partnership this season between Bodruff and Byrne, and that worries me, because whenever them two played together last season, we were particularly weak and exposed week in, week out. So, but I'm not sure actually what happened. It'd be good to understand from the faithful, what actually happened to Sean Hutchinson. Because, I've liked him so far this season. And I keep stressing that he's our most improved central defender of the last 8 months. And I want him starting each and every game.
No, listen, I totally agree with you. That's why, again, I'm concerned for the player. I'm concerned for the health of the player. And again, I'm just going to read this to you, Emilio. I don't know if this is going to answer our question with Sean Hutchins, but in the manager reaction, here are quotes from my kid, okay? Simon stated, "I think Sean's okay. Within a half hour, he was back to normal. It knocked the wind out of his sails, but he'll be in tomorrow. We'll be assessed to see if he's fit for training on Monday. We'll follow the protocol for that sort of thing." Okay, so that's the update that we have from Kit on Sean Hutchinson. So obviously the team's monitoring it, and I really hope he's okay, Amelia.
I hope so, because he's been a godsend in that defense this season so far, and he did play particularly well the last third of last season in particular, and always caused a threat from set pieces. And he's growing in maturity as a central defender. So, having him there sort of leading from the back, I see like another Chris Coleman type of defender there, to be honest. You see what I mean? Someone who's, who's strong, capable, good awareness, he's got to sort of tidy up some of those mistakes he makes. But, no one's perfect. We all make mistakes. Ross McCormack makes mistakes. Brian Ruiz makes mistakes. All these expensive flair players. So Sean Hutchinson also has a right to make mistakes. But it's, sure. He's growing in maturity as a player, and you know, that's, you know, he potentially could grow into something a lot more stronger and capable. But so far, so good. But yeah, hopefully he won't be out for too long, because I think he's been very good this season so far.
He has. And listen, I just hope he's okay. And I just want to mention that. And that's why I wanted to share those quotes from Kidd after the match. And let's just hope he's all right. And that's the number one. His health is the number one thing. So I'm just hoping that Sean Hutchinson's okay. All right, Emilio, let's now move to the 30th minute. Let's talk about the shot from distance from Jamie O'Hara. You mentioned that in the first half when we're shooting from distance. What did you make of this attempt from Jamie O'Hara? I almost said Sean. Jamie O'Hara.
Yeah, absolutely. He was our best player in the first half overall. Again, everything was coming through him. But, he was always trying to look for room. He's always looking forward. He's not looking backwards, not rarely looking sideways. He's always trying to spring the ball forwards and always, he's got a good eye for goal. And, he thought he tried to make some space for himself and, he had a good long-range shot, which the keeper did well to parry away and palm away went for a corner in the end. But, again, good vision, good awareness and on target. So if it was going to be a goal coming from open play, it was going to come from Jamie O'Hara, because I think it was another one not long after that. He maybe not as with as much strength, which the keeper still saved, but O'Hara again trying to make something happen. He's always looking to spring the ball around, keep the ball moving and keeping the game flowing as well. He doesn't like to slow the game. That's what I like about him, is he's trying to make the game flow and keep the momentum going. And at times he's got a good eye for goal. Even in the second half, he was always looking to take a shot. Maybe once or twice, maybe too many touches of the ball. But that shot in the first half, good speculative shot. And, the keeper did well to save it.
Okay, very good. And like you mentioned, Fulham had their spell in the first half. And this was, based on what I'm listening to. I didn't see it. But, again, what you just mentioned as well, that this was a decent attempt from Jamie O'Hara. And Emilio, one thing I do want to mention, because share with everyone your halftime assessment, because you can actually follow Emilio on Periscope. And I actually watched your halftime assessment, which was great, right from Craven Cottage with Val, who sits right next to you. Just share with everyone a little bit what you talked about at halftime.
Yeah, so those who did listen in, so obviously what I try to do now is try to have do a cottage talk pre-match, summary with some of the supporters around me. Do one at halftime. Unfortunately, didn't get a chance to do one at the end of the day because everyone had left the ground this afternoon. But did one at halftime just before the dismal on-pitch entertainment today. But Val and James, James Elliott, both. Especially James, very, very, very depressing. Was speechless. Didn't have much to say. And I saw some of the comments on Periscope where the guys were saying globally that there was not much to say. He didn't have anything of note and worth talking about. Val, is normally a positive person, but one has been very disappointed at the decline of the club. He's been supporting Fulham now for 55, 60 years. So he's been a local boy from those days. And he's just disappointed with things. He was disappointed with the first half performance. We all expect better. And, for those who listened to the live broadcast at halftime, will have seen his comments. Just frankly, not good enough. But with the players that we've got, we should all be expecting more. And I think that's where we're all, I think, consistent. You are, Russ, Mike, David, all the other co-hosts on the show. With the players that we've got and the strength that we've added, we should be doing better. And we have been signs of doing better, but today really hit me hard. I'm not going to get angry, because football, there's more important things in life than about football. And when people go through life-changing things outside of football, you realize you don't get angry about football. You get frustrated and disappointed, but you can't let it make you get angry, because there's more pressing issues outside of football which are more important. But I am frustrated, very disappointed, but something needs to change now. I've been saying it for a while, but I'm not sure we're going to progress under this man. Nice man as he is, we're not going to get any further. And these disappointing half-time performances, it's not good enough. We should be doing better.
Okay, very good there, Emilio. And listen, like I mentioned, you should definitely follow Emilio, Teddy Nello on Periscope and also on Twitter, because I really appreciate you doing these halftime updates from Craven Cottage. You also do it pre-match as well. It's really good, and I would highly recommend everyone following you. All right, Emilio, let's move on. Let's now move to the second half, and And again, as the second half progressed, there was an excellent opportunity for Fulham to score. It was in the 61st minute. Moussa Dembele's header from the center of the box is saved. And this keeper actually had a few good saves based on what I listened to. And this was actually assisted by Ross McCormack with a cross. Talk about this opportunity by Dembele.
What we should also talk about is the first 15 minutes of the half, where actually Huddersfield were on top. In that game, they came out in the second half with a bit more of purpose and endeavour. They were more direct. They were playing these sort of like through balls, which were cutting through our defence very easily. There was one instance where Kvosa was, you know, had a yard ahead of the attacker from Huddersfield Town, but somehow the attacker got first to the ball and managed to get a shot in, which Lonergan did well to save. So first 15 minutes of the half, second half, Huddersfield were the better team and they had more belief and they were playing more direct. But, you know, from nowhere, really, you know, Fulham were starting to play the ball out of defence. Some good movement from the middle of the park. McCormack got the ball, nice ball to Dembele. But Dembele rose well and had a very strong header on target. On another day, he would have scored, but the keeper made a spectacular save. But if Matt Smith was in that position, I'm not sure Matt Smith would have been as effective. I don't think Matt Smith would have got the power in that header as much as Dembele did. And that's where I think Dembele adds a lot more depth and variety to his game compared to Matt Smith. Both very tall. At times, you know, Matt Smith can be strong, but I think he sometimes gets brushed off the ball a bit too easily. And I'm not sure he would have been as effective had that opportunity come to him. But Dembele was unlucky not to score, but all credit to the keeper because it was a great header. But the keeper did a spectacular save to keep the score 0-0.
Yeah, listen, got to give the keeper credit. Again, everyone was tweeting about how good their keeper was. And based on everything that I've read and was listening to, that this was a good save. And you backed that up by what you just shared there, my friend. All right. And this happens all the time. Fulham have a great opportunity. What happens 2 minutes later? They give up a goal. Naki Wall scores in the 63rd minute with a right-footed shot from the center of the box, assisted by Harry Bunn. Talk about this goal and who is to blame for this goal?
If I look at it, from where I've seen again, it's when we're on top of we're on top of the first 15 minutes. That Dembele header sort of came from nowhere, as I mentioned a few moments ago. Those through balls from the Huddersfield, from the forwards, the midfield into the forwards, you smelt a goal somehow. I just felt that if anyone was going to score, it probably was going to be more Huddersfield than Fulham. Not surprisingly, and. Defensively, from what I could see, again, it was a very bright day, so it was difficult to sort of focus with a strong sunlight. But we were just in sixes and sevens in defence. We were nowhere in no man's land. We were too slow to close down the play. And to me, it looked like Jazz Richards. Maybe I didn't get the view very clearly. But from where I saw, I thought Jazz Richards was at fault. It may have been Vosa. Vosa or Jazz Richards were at fault for the goal. Okay. But defensively, you need to be stronger in those positions. And it was a bit too easy again, and that's the problem. That's what worries me. So when our midfield isn't protecting the defence as often as we would like, then when you're putting the pressure on the defence, our defence, we know we're always going to concede goals. We're always going to make mistakes, and it's frustrating that typical Kit Simons will say that we don't get the run of the run of the ball or a bit of bad luck here and there. But you can't keep making schoolboy errors and defend like school kids and get away with it. And unfortunately, it was a fairly straightforward goal. Didn't clear our lines very well, and Huddersfield took the lead. And you could argue at that point in time, if anyone deserved to take the lead, it was probably more Huddersfield than we did. Based on that first 15, 20 minutes of that second half. At the time, we may have had more possession, but Huddersfield looked more dangerous. And that's not saying much. And that's the thing, they're a very poor team, looking more dangerous than ourselves on our Craven Cottage, which once used to be our fortress. That's extremely worrying, and that's unacceptable. You play a stronger team like a Middlesbrough, a Derby County, we could get annihilated.
And that's the issue, Emilio. And listen, I'm glad that you mentioned the first 15 minutes, because listening to it again, it sounded to me like Huddersfield Town were on the front foot, were really putting Fulham under pressure. But again, it's not like they had this great performance, but I see where you're going on this, that for you, they were the club more likely to score, and they did score. So they get the lead 1-0. And Fulham are obviously working very hard to get the equalizer. And, again, they had opportunities, but again, I'm now going to just focus on the very end of the match because we're going to take you to stoppage time. And in the second minute of injury time, Tom Kearney has a free kick. And by all accounts, the goalkeeper did very well here again.
Yes, he did. You know, it's a great, you know, great, great, great free kick from Tom Kearney. It was going in the top right-hand corner. And the keeper did excellently well to just to hit, to palm it over the bar. And we just thought that was it. That was our last chance. There's no way we're going to get back into the game or even get a point. And, you know, just you saw the reaction from the players. It was that close. You know, all of us thought it was going in. It was on target, going in the top corner, and the keeper miraculously saved it. But, you know, but that's all we offered, really. And that's what was frustrating. As soon as we went back one goal down, that was your opportunity, Kid Simons. Change it immediately. Because you weren't really on top of the game at the time. Huddersfield scored a goal. That gave them the momentum. And, you know, I would have changed it immediately. I was actually saying to Val and some of the other guys around me, take Kaká off because he's being poor and ineffective, and put in probably Woodrow and play McCormack Dean. That's exactly what we quoted. And shame yes. that, you know, as usual, Kit Simons took a long time to make that substitution. And with Woodrow, I'm not saying Woodrow changed it. Yes, he did score the goal. He maybe did. You could say that was a key moment again, that him equalising at the death. But as soon as the substitution was made, Kearney, LBC had a bit more space, like they did last week. Maybe the defence, Huddersfield defence, was sitting back a lot more, protecting their lead. But, you know, they were inviting us to play, and LBC sort of suddenly woke up. Kearney had a bit more space. You know, there was a bit more movement. O'Hara was a little bit more isolated. He wasn't as effective the last 25 minutes as he was in the first hour. And that then allowed the likes of Kearney and LBC to start taking a lot more control of the game. Jazz Richards came forward a lot more, but unfortunately not much limited end product. But overall, you know, there was, if we made that change sooner, maybe we could have gone equaliser a lot sooner, but Kit changed it too late, as far as I'm concerned again.
Yeah, listen, I was just about to get there because he brings on Kaká, because you were mentioning this. He brought him on in the 74th minute. Now, the Naki Wells goal came in the 63rd minute. So I see your argument, Amelia. Why didn't he bring him on earlier? And forget about the goal. Maybe he should have brought him on in the 60th minute.
Yeah, we were chasing it. Obviously, when you're goal down at home, you know, half an hour to go, it's still enough time to win the game. And but, you know, you've made a substitution a little bit too late, as far as I'm concerned. And
okay.
had a very average to poor game. So change it immediately. It wasn't working. You know, change it there and then. But I'm not sure what did he see in the lead up to their goal to suggest that the position, the 11 players on the pitch would do enough to get an equaliser. I didn't see that. Yes, you know, Dembele header, fine. But we needed a bit more of a spark in midfield. And Kaká maybe wasn't effective, which was disappointing, and change it. But he changed it a little bit too late. But as soon as the change was made, there was, like I said, there was a bit more space, a bit more time, and we were starting to give them a lot more problems. We were knocking the ball about quite nicely. But unfortunately, sometimes you're a little bit too harried, maybe trying to pass the ball a little bit too quickly. And as a result, you know, we were being a little bit impatient at times. Whereas if we were a little bit more patient, we had half an hour to get that equaliser and possibly get a winner. Things might have been a little bit different, but as soon as you bring on Woodrow with 15 minutes to go, still chasing the game, you're going to be rushing around. You're going to be sort of harrying around, and you lose that composure at times when you're sort of trying to rush to try and have an equaliser rather than actually trying to play your way out of trouble and give yourself sufficient time to get that equaliser. Just, it's all around tactics here.
Right.
The tactics change, and he was bold enough to do something a lot sooner. Another manager would have changed things immediately, in my opinion.
Right, and that's my
point. Sam would have changed things there and then. You're a goal down at home. They would have changed it there and then, or had that card up their sleeve. But Kit decided to persevere with the same 11. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't look like scoring. Huddersfield got more into the game as soon as they scored, as you'd expect. They had the momentum, the confidence. And if anything, they were wasting time, you know, just on the floor all the time, just tying their shoelaces to waste another 30, 40 seconds here and there. So, as far as they're concerned, they probably were confident they were going to win the game, and they almost did.
Let me ask you, when he did bring on Woodrow, because I agree with you, I think he should have brought him on earlier, and because I think that would have made a difference. It definitely, again, based on what I'm listening to, you're there. Sounds like he changed the game. So I have to give Kit credit for making the change, but I also have to, you know, again, criticize him, like you're mentioning. Maybe he should have made it earlier. You know, again, if you're going to make the change, why don't you make it a little bit earlier? Maybe maybe the impact would have been even greater if he made it a little bit earlier, because they weren't getting it done 60 minutes in, Emilio. So that's my point. But I want to ask you this, because I saw Ben Weeks tweet this out, that he believed that Fulham changed their formation at some point to a 4-3-3. When Colley came on, was there a change in formation? I'm just asking.
There was, yeah. You know, I was expecting McCormack to probably come a little bit more deeper rather than actually staying forward. But he was, again, everywhere, but not everywhere, if that makes sense. He was sort of languishing around the pitch, but not really to good effect. You know, he was trying to make things happen, but he just wasn't in the game throughout. And Woodrow, I thought, would offer a different option. I thought he would go in and support Dembele up front. And, you know, he took his goal well, admitting we'll talk about that in a moment. But, yep. You know, I thought, you know, I think it felt more... It did feel like a 4-3-3, but, you know, again, McCormack wasn't effective. I would have probably preferred him to have taken more of a lead in central midfield, you know, take the pressure off O'Hara and lead, as we said earlier, as a captain and start taking control of the game. And, you know, but him, LVC and McKinney did start to play in some nice touches, you know, and that was what was obvious. As soon as we changed it, there was more space in midfield. I mean, the two midfielders, Kearney and LVC, had a bit more freedom like they had last weekend. And some, you know, what needs to change formation-wise so we get those guys to play to their best potential? Because LVC made more of some of those penetrating runs as soon as the substitution was made, similarly last Saturday. And before that, LVC was a shadow of the player he was last year. You know, just the ball just wasn't running for him. Kearney wasn't really in the game as much, but you always feel a threat there. But LVC's, you know, we're maybe expecting a lot from him this season, and I feel sorry for the lad. He doesn't look happy.
Okay.
He doesn't look happy. You know, that's worrying again. Good. You know, why are these players, you know, frustrating with each other? You can see there's a lot of hand signals, like showing frustrations and anger towards each other. You know, the players are having words with each other on the pitch. There's lack of harmony on the pitch, and something must be going on in the dressing room that's causing the frustration. It's not the fact there's four games in, we've only got 2 points. There could be more fundamental issues there where just things aren't working together as a unit.
And that's what worries me, my friend. You know, again, that's why I'm glad that we could do this tonight. You know, regardless of the fact that I obviously I would rather watch it first to do the post-match show, but I'm glad that you were there so you can actually, like I said, as I've been saying throughout this entire thing, paint the picture from what I listened to. You know, I didn't see it, but what I listened to, it, you know, kind of paint that picture for me. So I really appreciate doing this with me, and I guess you could say I'm getting even more frustrated, you know, doing the show, because honestly, my friend, it sounds like the potential is there, and it sounds like Kit did make a change, a positive change, but. You know, again, I have to ask, you know, you bring up the valid point. Why was it made when it was made? Why wasn't it made earlier? And, you know, again, listen, they were talking on the broadcast, Emilio. You know, they were saying, who's coming off? Is it Kaká or McCormack? And that was a question they kept going on with. They thought it was going to be Kaká, but there was talk about would it be McCormack? And, you know, listen,
No, I had no hesitation it was going to be Kaká. I wanted him off immediately, as much as I like Kaká. But you know, I mentioned on the last show that as a player, he hasn't developed over the last 2 to 3 years. And that's a worry as well. Has this player got more potential up his sleeve? I'm not sure he does, because he's getting opportunities here and there and not really grabbing them. And today he was ineffective. Take him off, make a change, make a bold change. But the fact that he did it with a big goal down, with attacking options on the bench,
yep.
Why did it leave it so late? And that then started to create disharmony, not just on pitch, but also amongst the fans. You know, in my where I stand in my fans, you know, literally it was 75, 80 minutes of booing. There was booing at half time, booing throughout the second half, and chants of Kit out, you know, by a number of supporters. And some supporters were supporting him, saying to others to shut up and actually, you know, don't talk nonsense. And then there was almost all some fans coming together to have some sort of blows and in disagreement. So it's the passion is hurt, is being felt in the stands. And, you know, you can sense what the majority of fans want here. They're not seeing the Fulham they love and breathe. And I can't see things changing miraculously. We might be showing signs of improvement, but not enough. And, you know, could another manager get more out of these players? I think they can. You know, the players on paper, we're doing better. We should be competitive. Right. We should be fairly comfortably, as certain likes of Huddersfield and Brighton, Hove Albion, but both games we struggled, and you know, it's not good enough. Something has to change, and you know, is there movement behind the scenes? And I'm still led to believe that there are things going on behind the scenes, and maybe there are some sort of minor emergency talks going on behind the scenes because things aren't progressing as they like, and I don't see enough to suggest that we can beat a Middlesbrough or Derby County. We might be able to compete better, but I don't think if we can't beat Huddersfield and Brighton at home, then we've got a problem.
We do have a problem, my friend. And listen, I definitely want to get to the equalizer in 1 second, but I do want to share this because we are talking a little bit about Kit. And I've been thinking about when would be the right time to say this, because again, I heard the Kit chants. I heard all of them. And again, everyone has a right to say and do what they want. It's not what I would do, but if you want to do that, if that makes you feel better, that's up to you. I'm not going to judge anyone for what they're doing. I wouldn't do that. It's just not my style. But this is what I'm going to share, Emilio. And again, I came on a prior show and I said, you got to give Kit 10 matches, Emilio. I reserved the right to change my mind. I honestly believe that the management of Fulham Football Club have to make a decision soon on Kit Simons. I do. I think they need to make a change. I think the talent's there. If you want towards promotion, you want to be in the mix. If you want to be in the mix, I think you need to make a managerial change. It hurts me to say that because he's a full man. He's a positive guy. But I think the talent's there. I think we need the right guy to get that talent out and playing as a unit. He's not getting it done, Emilio. I hate to say it. So for me, it's time for the managerial change. I'm basically going back on what I said two shows ago when I said 10 matches. I'm saying that they have to look at it now. I'm sorry. I have to say that.
I'll agree with you there as well. I think at the end of the day, you know, I would have liked to have given the guy 10, 12 games up to the European games in October, but the progression isn't as advanced as I thought it would be. Yeah. And I'm confident with another more experienced manager running the club, we would get more out of these players and probably get more of you. Today showed me very clearly the team are not playing for him. It's very clear. You know, there's no belief, there's frustration. I don't often see that. Even through the bad times last season, you didn't see the bad words between the players, you know, showing frustrations and, you know, who's having a go at one another on the pitch. It was blatant today on a number of occasions. And this was only the fourth game of the season. So that shows to me something's not clicking and there's a lack of unity in that dressing room. And now is the right time to change it. You know, we've been, you know, at the end of the day, we are improving as a squad. So whoever comes on board will have the benefit of more stronger players than we had last season. And so they will be able to play with a number of players who are more advanced and better quality. But they will get more out of these players, I'm certain of that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, that's why I think a managerial change, even though it's early, I think this is the right time to do it. Or you do it after the Rotherham match because there's a break. That's the time you do it. You need to really consider doing it very soon. I would do it now, but again, if you want to wait till after the Rotherham match, I would do it. You know, again, I can just see a similar pattern if they don't make the change, Emilio, because I think that we're going to have good moments, we're going to have bad moments, but I think if you get the right man on that can really harness the talent and have these players playing where they should be playing and getting the most out of them, I think that Fulham have the potential to have a very good season. But right now it's so disjointed and it's very disappointing. It's frustrating. And I can't believe I'm doing this, but I am calling for a managerial change on Cottage Talk. Sorry, I am. But Emilio, we don't have that much time left. So let's talk about the equalizer by Colly Woodrow. Again, Gentleman Jim and Sean Davis were going crazy. I couldn't make heads or tails on what exactly happened. So I need you to explain to me how we scored the goal.
Yeah, I think again it was you know, how to say that, you know, it's I think we'd lost hopes. There was 5 minutes injury time, and that was key. So that a lot of it was the substitutions, but also how would you say, a lot of time wasting from the Huddersfield. So the referee, who had I thought had a very good game, He gave us the extra, probably the extra minute or two of injury time. And, you know, we played to it, you know, to be honest. We kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And, you know, the Huddersfield players didn't really clear their lines particularly well. And, you know, the ball fell to Woodrow, who controlled the ball well, side-footed the Huddersfield player and shot into the back of the net. And he's alert. He was very alert on the ball. And he was in that in the penalty area, in the six-yard box, and was very sharp. You know, at the end of the day, the Huddersfield players couldn't believe that they'd conceded a goal right at the death. But, you know, overall, we deserved an equaliser, I think, based on the possession of play. Their keeper made some crucial saves. Lonergan made some excellent saves as well throughout the game. But it really came from, you know, perseverance, you know, paid dividends for a change. And it was nice to actually score in injury time ourselves rather than actually conceding at the death. But, you know, the ball fell quite nicely to Woodrow in the six-yard box. He did well to control the ball, side-footed past the Huddersfield defender to get some space and shot immediately into the back of the net. You know, the goalkeeper had no chance. So it was great to score. Did I celebrate like I would normally celebrate with a last minute equal? No, I didn't. It was just like a bit of relief, but to me, it didn't make a difference. A defeat, it's the fact that we were very, very poor today and we need to be doing better. So in a way, it was a relief to get a draw, but I barely celebrated.
Okay, and that's, you know, again, that's sad, my friend. It's sad that you couldn't enjoy that moment. And honestly, I'm just sharing this with you listening to it. After they scored, I was happy, but the first thing that came out of my mouth was, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Mm. Just not good enough, my friend. It's not good enough. I'm sorry. You should be beating Huddersfield Town at home. You should be beating Brighton and Hove Albion at home. You have more talent than both of these teams. You should be winning these matches at home. You took 1 point out of six from home, Emilio. That's terrible.
I agree. And that's, you know, that we've lost two opportunities to gain wins against the two of the weaker teams in the division.
Right.
We've still got the best teams in the division still to play. And, you know, maybe it's in a new managerial change will get better from the players. And, you know, maybe things can change, but I don't think we're a million miles away from where we need to get to start getting some wins under our belt and start pushing up the table. I agree with you, we won't get relegated, but it just doesn't feel, there's something not quite right there in the dressing room. And I think that, you know, this might be Kit's last game, but the worry I have is how long the decision be made. I don't want another situation where we'll give him another half dozen games, by which time it's definitely too late to progress, right, and we've wasted another season. So it's a fine line now. It's be bold, make the decision, or persevere. Hope we'll start getting some consistency and start winning games and push up the table. If you don't win those games, then season over. Could be over in September.
Right. And that's why, Emilio, that's why I'm calling for it now. Because I really gave this some thought. I thought, okay, if I give them 10 matches, that's a good barometer. But honestly, if we really want to be a team that can fight for top six, it can't wait for 10 matches. They really can't. They need to make a decision now. And if they don't make a decision now, and if they wait on it, it could be too late. That's the issue that I have. That's why, like you said, be bold, Fulham Football Club. Make a decision now or very soon. If you want to wait till after the Rotherham match, fine. But I'm telling you, I think they need to make a decision very soon and make a change. Again, I'm sorry. The manager's not good enough. He seems like a great, great person, but it's time to change the manager. I'm sorry, man.
The fans made their feelings very clear. So, you know, a lot of boos at halftime. Yeah. Kicked out chance for our second half. And more importantly, only 14,000 supporters. That's, when's the last time we had 14,000 for a league game?
That's terrible, by the way.
That's not good enough. And fans are losing faith. They're staying away.
Yeah, you know, and I don't blame the Fulham supporters for not going. I want to mention this. This just shows that they're unhappy. You know, again, 14,000 to me, it's not a bad reflection on Fulham supporters. For me, it's a reflection on Fulham Football Club, because these fans are not coming to the match because they're unhappy. You know, again, they're frustrated like we're talking about here. And they want better results, and they deserve better results. We were just in the Premier League two seasons ago. They deserve better. We deserve better, my friend. Anyways, listen, I I had a funny feeling a rant would come out. It came out. We only have 5 minutes left. Sorry about that. So, I'm just really frustrated, and I just had to let that out, my friend. I'm sorry about that, but
like I'm not saying, I support you there too.
Okay, but unfortunately, we don't have that much time left. So I was going to go through the stats. I can basically just tell you real quickly that Fulham actually had more possession, 64% to 36%. Total shots were 16 to 13 in favor of Fulham. Actually, Huddersfield Town had one more shot on target. But again, that's just to give you a flavor. Very interesting stat here, total passes. Fulham actually had 466 total passes to 265. Attacking passes were over 100 more, 303 to 212, a little less than that. But still, it just shows you that Fulham had more control of the play. But again, it's still just a point, my friend. All right. Mm. All right. Let's move on. Let's quickly, if you can, just real quick, maybe in a minute's time, just run through rating the players, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course. So I'm going to give man of the match to Lonergan, to be honest. I thought he had a very good game, to be honest, with some key saves. So I'm giving him an 8. Jazz Richards, very average to poor second half in particular. I'll give him a 5. Bosa a 4, awful throughout. Burn did well to win the header. What I should have said as well, for the goal. He actually rose well, got a good header. The ball fell nicely to Woodrow, and Woodrow scored. So on that base, I'll give Burn a 6.5 because of his contribution and assist to the goal. Bodrov looked liable at times, so I'm going to give him only a 5. O'Hara had a good first half, died away the last 25 minutes of the second half, so I'm giving him a 7.5. Who else is there? So LVC, 6, again, disappointing. Kearney, 6.5 because he had a good free kick and nearly scored from that. Kaká, I'm only giving him 5.5. Didn't do enough for me throughout the game. McCormack, another 5. Second half looked a little bit better, but needs to grow up and start leading from the front. And Dembele, I'm giving him an 8 as well because I thought he had a very strong game and was unlucky not to score a goal. So overall, Lonergan probably give him 8.5 because I think it was his saves that kept us in the game. And other than one moment of uncertainty in the first half, I thought he looked quite comfortable behind the sticks. So, yeah, he's a good backup compared to Pyjamas last season. So, Lonergan, man of the match for me.
That's great. That's great. Well, listen, we only have about 2 minutes left. I want you to rate Kit for me real quick.
I'm giving him a 5, to be honest. It's overall, he picked the lineup that we were expecting. So I'm going to give him some points and credit there. But, in terms of formation, as expected, the players as expected, disappointed he didn't make the substitution sooner. That might have given us a bit more time to have made a difference. But, it's at the end of the day, it didn't inspire me. It was motionless throughout the game. I didn't see enough urgency, even when we were in a goal down, to start kicking his players up the bottom and actually start getting them to work harder and believe that they can get something out of it. So I saw his reaction when we equalised. What you normally do is applaud the team, but again, didn't see enough passion, not enough desire there on the byline. And I'm only giving him a 5, but things have to change.
Okay, very good, Emil. Well, listen, we only have 60 seconds left. Thank you so much for doing this, my friend. But we Well, listen, I enjoyed doing this. I got to vent a little bit, but it's time to go, my friend. Great show. Thank you very much, Emilio.
Thank you very
much. For Emilio Dinello, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, my friend.
Good night, Russ. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye.